You're listening to Type Radio. I'm Albert-Jan Pohl. Now we're talking. Extending the typeface because bigger companies want to use it for their corporate designs. Because of globalization, things have to work everywhere. So that's the thing. That's one of the big jobs at all companies that are doing serious type business is extending the character sets by foreign languages, by non-Latin. Non-Latin is the issue. That's
Don't you feel that sometimes that this normalization is a good thing because it saves money and it makes everybody happy if it's all the same? But on the other end, there is like a personality lost.
Of course, it is.
Theoretically.
Yeah, there's a technical need to standardize certain things. In order to, because when you don't agree on kind of standards, everything that is being created can only be created by one company. Mm. When you don't agree on screws and bolts, and then you have to make your own, because the things you buy here and there you cannot. And when you buy them somewhere else, when you have a plate of iron with holes in it, and you make the holes in the plate. And you want to buy screws that fit, you have to know what they look like. Mm. Otherwise, you have to buy them and find out, and then you have to find out how big the hole is. You have to.
Basically,
simple things, but in the end of the 19th century, this was practice. There was nobody delivering these kind of standard things. So when you're a deliverer, you cannot change your delivering company because the other company is doing other nuts and bolts with other sizes. Mm. So, and before they make the sizes you want, you have to specify these are the sizes we need from you. So you make a kind of the whole standardization starts with big companies drawing up. These are the nuts and bolts we want to use in our machines. Mm. So no matter what kind of machine it is, you engineers do not. It's not your job to calculate sizes for nuts and bolts. Mm. It's your job to make new machines and not these basic things. Mm. So you make a kind of standard work in which you have these things and your specifications. Mm. So when you make a machine, an engineer doesn't have to calculate the size of nuts and bolts anymore. Just if we take this, so and so, now we're going to order it. And then we have three companies and you can choose and what's the price.
Right.
And then you take the best one.
But in terms of the typeface, though, that's also sort of a contradiction, because if you say that it was used because it was the odd one out, it's hardly the norm.
Huh? Correct? Sorry, I don't get the question.
Yeah, like for example, they were using DIN, like in the, you know, and you were saying in California, because it was the one that was slightly odd, correct?
Yes, it was odd because it's an engineer standard.
Yeah, but it's not. If I think of an end, it is also the contradiction in it, because it might be a standard, but it was used because it looked
weird. Yes, and that's why the thing became, that's why this what became interesting for me. That's where does this come from? How can a standard be so dumb? That's the first question you ask. Huh? You see this funny typeface, and you know it's a standard. The first question that any type designer comes up is with, how can it be?
Yeah.
How can it be possible? And when you look back in history, you find time slots in these things like this fit, because everybody is doing things like that.
Do you think every era, every 10 years is a standard also font? in that respect? Because at that time it was that standard. What would you say?
You see, things are changing. That in the times of the was it between 26 and 36, it's the Bauhaus era. Then you see that constructed typefaces for headlines, and not for text. Headline typefaces are all graphic designers construct typefaces with lines and arcs. They all do this because it was simply the thing that was en vogue, it was popular. So and you see the engineers do the same thing at the same time. There is also and you see after the war, serious typography in Germany is very conservative, a little bit dull. Nobody wanted to stand out and say, I am doing this, because people that were behaving like that before did not become that much popular. It was not popular anymore to come in with a big mouth, because they had enough of this. So it took years before the first real change in typography came from the Swiss after the war. The Swiss typography, which was based on things that were done in the 30s. So that's the construction of typefaces. It's after the war. It's things like Swiss typography. Then it's Aktenskotesque. That's the phase of the late 50s, beginning of the 60s. Then the 60s is Helvetica, and then things like Universe come up, and then it becomes to be Frutiger, and then it becomes Microsoft gives us a drawback in taking Arial. But they also realized that you see them all working in a new direction. All new Windows typefaces are you can say they're the sans-serif typefaces are Frutiger based. No matter whether it's Myriad or whether it's the standard faces that Apple uses or things Lucas de Grota's Calibri, it's all the Frutiger sans-serif direction. So you can see these trends.
And what would you say is the standard typeface now?
Standard typeface now is still Arial, because Windows Vista is not really. It starts to come in the market, and within 5 years, when Vista is going to be exchanged for something new, then in the next 5 years, Arial will lose enormous parts of the market, or the market of usage. The Arial is the standard typeface of today, as bad as it is, but it will disappear.
But for print, what would you say?
For print, this is only sans serif history, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
it's only a small part. Print is not less dependent from operating system typefaces. and this what I tell is things like office communication. But in print, it's what's happening.
Helvetica keeps coming back.
Yes,
the movie.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Things are always being revived. That's true. We always take things from the past and invent new things, and that's always a play between the two extremes. Mm-hmm. So that's when you look at books and magazines, you can also see that we have the revivals of the 1920s going back to the Venetian and Renaissance typefaces, and then forgetting it and reinventing it. People like Stanley Morrison have always been, they have been reviving fonts from the past, but do it with a completely different attitude as we do it now. When you look at Adobe Jensen, Adobe Garamond, when you look at things Frank Rockland is doing with DTL, or when you look at the work of Enschede Font Foundry, or when you look at Brandtus, and when you look at Underwear, they revive, you can say that they also base their classical typefaces on on classical proportions, but they do it a completely different way than in the 1920s and 1930s, because we have a different way of looking at things. So traditional topography is less dependent from trends in operating system typefaces and display typography, advertising. I think they need much more change. When you speak of standardization, it would of course be much cheaper and much better for us all if IKEA would do the same program for 20 years. Because when you then need some new furniture, it will always fit to the old.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and nowadays it's not anywhere true. Because when you, after 10 years, you want to extend your bookshelves, it has a different name and a different size and other screws. And you have to throw away.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to throw away all of them, because otherwise it doesn't fit anymore.
But, so,
but it doesn't work, because if IKEA would do 20 years the same program, would you go to the shop?
No,
but you could still,
because
yeah,
it's old fashioned. Yeah. It's old fashioned. It's from the 80s. Who's going to buy this?
They're still called Billy, though.
Yeah, there are a few. they are clever guys. There are a few things which are standard and
always
on the
IKEA
classic. Yes, but that's how it works. Yeah, there are some things which are basic and which are always the same, which are compatible to each other, and but. So the kitchen system is always the same, but the front doors change. So you can standardize. You have to standardize, but you cannot build everything on it.
Final question.
Yeah.
How would you like to be remembered?
I'm not starving yet. How I would like to be remembered as a typeface designer, and not only as the designer of DIN. So there's still some things to do. Now, I've done other typefaces, but it's the typeface of the Jet's fuel stations. But these things don't last forever. Maybe in 20 years there is no Jet, or they redesigned everything.
Yeah.
So then you can only find back some pictures of these things in maybe 5 books around the world and on some funny websites, and then it's over. So I would like to, and then the only thing left is maybe DIN and a book about it and some magazines, and you probably will still be able to use the typeface in 20, 30 years. But it would be nicer to have some more other fonts, at least fonts.
Yeah.
And maybe some other good things too. But, mostly people are just remembered by just one or two things, because we do not remember. Kennedy is always the president who has been shot. No. And what else did he do?
Well there's Marilyn Monroe.
Play a pig. Play a pig sort of stands out. Everybody remembers that. The Bay of Pigs. You know what
the Bay of Pigs.
The Bay of Pigs. Farfakas Bay.
Farfakas Bay. And Cuba.
Yeah.
Cuba.
The Cuba crisis.
Cuba crisis. Yeah.
That's also. Or maybe just that's what I remember.
Yeah, but it's just a few things. It's very. It's like a poster. It's just placative.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So I guess you have to cut a lot.
Copyright Type Radio, all rights reserved.